Well, good morning. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. If you're with us for the first time or if you're visiting, we've been teaching and preaching through Hebrews. We're almost finished. We're like in the last chapter of Hebrews, but this morning and last week on Palm Sunday, we kind of paused. So this morning we're going to pause and talk about Jesus. Is that okay? All right, everybody stand with me. I know some of you have been sitting for a while. The choir is like, oh, I finally get to sit down. So if you're in a choir, you can stay seated, or if you have a child, you can sit down. I thought you'd stretch a little bit, and we'll pray and read God's Word together. We're going to be in Luke chapter 23, verse 39 and 43, but let's pray first. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and gather in this house this morning. Thank you for the beautiful sunrise and our sunrise service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live in America also. Lord, we appreciate it. Appreciate these blessings you've given us. Lord, above all, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Be raised from the dead on the third day. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your mercy, grace. As you bless this time together, bless this word. Lord, you said it would go forward and would not return void. So Lord, we just trust in your word this morning. Help me teach it and preach it in the way you put it on my heart. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So if you have your Bibles, hang with me. It's about 14 and a half minute sermon. Is that okay? So here we go. But this is, I changed gears. I had Derry, you know, ask him early in the week to a video and it was a really powerful video, but the Lord had me change gears in the middle of the week, so here we go, and we'll see how it goes. Lord, we thank you for that, though. This morning's message is called Breakfast with the Devil and Supper with Jesus. Breakfast with the Devil and Supper with Jesus. So we'll see how it goes. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. Luke 23, 39 through 43, and this morning I chose the NIV version. So here we go, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. For this man has done no wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him and said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Everybody say amen. Amen. The soldiers took Jesus outside the city of Jerusalem to a place that we know as Calvary. They nailed him to a cross and lifted him up to die. And many stories have been told and many sermons have been preached about the cross in this story. But today, I feel like the Lord has put on my heart to talk to you about a man we call the thief on the cross. This man came within a heartbeat of dying and going to hell. That condemned man at the last moment received the mercy of God and was gloriously saved. Now imagine those words if it were you hanging on the cross beside Jesus. Without hope, dying, and on the way to an everlasting separation from God. And Jesus says to you, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Wouldn't you agree that this offers a tremendous amount of hope? Especially for that thief, that sinner who deserves to die and be eternally separated from a righteous and holy God. Think about it. Think about it. He barely made it. This man was minutes from death. 1 minute, he was on the highway to hell, and the next minute, he was walking on the streets of gold. 1 moment, time had meaning. And the next moment, time would have no meaning. Think about that. That morning, the thief had breakfast with the devil, and that night, he had supper with Jesus. So this morning, the Lord's really put on my heart an evangelistic message. I feel there may be someone here today who needs to get saved and make it right with the Lord. There were 3 men that died on that cross that day. 3 men. If you have your sermon notes, if you have your bulletins, if you're visiting with us, there's sermon notes in the bulletin. So I'm assuming that everyone has a bulletin. Okay, if you're ready, here we go. 3 men who died on that cross that day. Jesus died for sin. Jesus died for sin and paid the price of redemption. One of the thieves died in sin and paid the price of eternal damnation. The other thief died to sin and was redeemed by God's grace through his faith in Jesus. So Jesus died for sin. One of them died in sin, and the other one died to sin. So here's some verses. In these verses, there's 3 things that we can learn from the man who barely made it. Everybody ready? Here's the 3 things. The thief's repentance, the thief's request, and the thief's redemption. So you got repentance, request, and redemption. So let's look at the first one, the thief's repentance. When the 3 crosses were first raised, both thieves were hurling accusations at Jesus. They were both mocking Jesus. You can look this up in the book of Mark, and talks about it in Mark. But something, everybody say something. But something changed in the heart of this one thief. Okay? The words that this thief spoke were genuine words of repentance. And we all know that repentance means, it literally means to have a change of mind. In other words, I'm going to begin to seeing something different. I'm going to see this differently. And true repentance is about taking an about face. In other words, I see this way, but you know what? I'm going to begin to see this differently. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the other way. And I'm not going to do that anymore because I see that differently now. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that. Let me give you an example. The thief on the cross that day had a change of mind, and he had 3 things that he changed in his mind. If you read the scriptures, he had a change about himself, he had a change about his sin, and he had a change about Jesus. He changed his mind about Jesus, and he changed his mind about himself, and he changed his mind about his sin. So let's look at this verse 40. Here he talks about changes. Now remember, he was accusing and slandering and mocking and making accusations against Jesus just earlier. Then all of a sudden in verse 40 it says this, but the other criminal rebuked him. See, there was one over here was saying all this crazy stuff to Jesus, and as we refer to the thief on the cross, he started rebuking him. He says, don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence. You see, the Bible calls this man a criminal. And this man, this thief on the cross, he knew he had made bad choices. And now he was on a cross, dying because of the crimes he had committed. He began to change because he began to accept responsibility for his behavior. He had a repentant attitude. He began to say, "It's me. I'm the problem." Now he also had a change in his mind about sin. If you look at verse 41a, okay, he says, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. That's what real repentance is. Basically, he said, I admitted I have sinned, and that sin is wrong and deserves to be punished. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. We're all sinners saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all sin. We don't get it right. We miss the mark. We're not perfect. Thus the need, the desperate need for a Savior. For the cross. Jesus paid the price. He paid the punishment. Our sin deserves punishment and eternal separation from God. But Jesus paid that price for all of us, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for the cross. Amen? Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that He loved us so much. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He took the punishment for me. I don't have to be punished. One day when I get to heaven, I stand before God. And He says, why should I let you in my heaven? Why should I let you in my heaven? I say, not because of anything I do or I did. Or not because of me, because I'm filthy rags. It's all because of what Jesus done on the cross. So I place my faith, everything that's within me. Everything. My hope. My destiny, my future, my eternal life rests in Calvary. It rests in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Amen. I have nothing. I've seen people try religion. It doesn't work. I can't stand religion, to be honest with you. If you study the scriptures, it's the religious hypocrites that crucified Jesus, right? But I love Jesus. Repentance is also a changed mind toward the Savior. Look at verse 41b now, everybody. 41b, it says, this is the thief on the cross. He says, but this man has done nothing wrong. What? Why are you giving him a hard time? You and I are as guilty as two coons. Find it out in the... Well, I'm getting country. I can't say that one. Sorry. It bleeds over what I do at work. For you guys don't know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, my full-time gig, right? But I get them all mixed up sometimes. I got a little story. I talk about two coon dogs. Remind me, Glenn, I'll tell you about it. But that's not going to go here. So help me, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Sound a little bit like Jerry Clower there too, didn't it, Jerry? It's shoot up here amongst us, right? Jesus, help me. Guys, you know what I think? Really, seriously. I think this thief on the cross, his mind began to change about Jesus because of what he witnessed Jesus doing on that cross. When he was on that cross, bleeding and broken and taking on the sins of the world. He was right there. He heard Jesus praying forgiveness for these people who were beating him and breaking him and tormenting him. See, this thief on the cross, nobody had ever seen anyone die on the cross like Jesus did. He was He was praying for this. You know, he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What? Oh, and he's suffering too. That must have really begun to change his mind. And then right up there, there was a sign above Jesus' head. Luke 23:38. This is what the sign says, and you all know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. A sign was fastened above him with these words: "This is the King of the Jews." I like to call that the first gospel tract. Right? I believe it was written for everyone that witnessed the crucifixion, but I believe it was specifically written for the thief on the cross. You see, he looked up there. That thief on the cross looked up there. And for him, it was a little tiny Bible. And it was the Father, the God Almighty, speaking through that and piercing that man on the cross's heart, that dying man, piercing in his heart and telling that man, "You know what? That man in the middle, dying on the cross, that's no ordinary man. Mm-mm. That's no ordinary man." That was God speaking directly to that thief on the cross. Amen? Jesus, as we all know, is no ordinary man. Let's go to the second point. The thief's request. You see, asking always comes after repentance. When you change your mind about sin, when you take an honest look in your life about your sin, and you take an honest look about yourself, you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you look at sin, and then you take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on the cross, usually what happens is there's this deep desire within yourself to seek out and ask for mercy and grace. It'll humble you and it'll break you. And you'll realize that I'm in desperate need of a Savior. You see, in this scripture, there's something simple and beautiful about these 9 words. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, he didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, get me down off this cross. I believe in you." No, he didn't hear all that crazy talk and all that pride stuff or arrogance or victimhood or any of that kind of stuff. You saw a broken man that was humble and said, "Jesus, just remember me when you get into your kingdom." You see, true repentance creates an understanding of a complete dependence on Christ. I know that sometimes when I try to witness to people and I tell them about the Lord and try to, you know, witness to folks, a lot of times they'll say things like, "You know, I'd really like to get saved. I kind of want to get saved, but you know, I'm just afraid I can't live the Christian life." You know what I say? You can't. Nobody can live the Christian life. I can't live it. But you know what I know for sure? That with Christ's help, you can live one day at a time. You can learn to walk in God's grace. The Holy Spirit will give you power from on high to give you strength. The Word of God will give you guidance and wisdom and counsel. And with Jesus' help, you can somewhat live this Christian life, whatever that means, right, guys? But we fall every day. That's why the Bible says we must pick up our cross daily and follow Him and be completely dependent on the cross and on the resurrection. That's the only thing we have. See, this is a simple salvation. Everybody say simple. It's simple. Now, I want you to notice something here. Notice how sincere this thief on the cross is. Verse 42. It says, Then he said, everybody say that with me. Then he said. One more time. Then he said. You know why I do that, don't you? Keep you awake. It's hot in there. Or was it just me? Plus, I got to get you a little dopamine pumping in your brain there, right? Make you laugh, do something, you know, anyway. Verse 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, if you look, I said, I want to look that up. So I looked that up in the Greek, and this is interesting. I'd never seen this before, never heard it. He said, the phrase, he said, then he said. That phrase, if you look it up in the Greek, it means he kept on saying. He kept on saying. Look at his, he was sincere. He kept on saying. Between those shocks of pain that was racking through this body of this poor man while he was on the cross, he was pleading with Jesus over and over. He was begging the Lord, please, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was asking him and asking him. And you know what? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guys, the thief on the cross repented of his sins. He changed his mind about himself. He changed his mind about his sin. And he changed his mind about Jesus Christ. His request was simple. Lord, remember me when you get into your kingdom. Number three, and the final point. Number three, the thief's redemption. The thief's redemption. The words of Christ. The words of Christ, we find the assurance of this thief's redemption. You can be assured of your salvation. Please don't ever let the devil put in your mind, okay, that you're lost 1 minute and saved the next minute, then lost in the minute and saved the next minute. That's a lie. Don't believe the devil on that area. That's a whole other sermon and subject. This thief's request, though, put Jesus between two requests. Jesus had a request from the unbelieving thief, and he had a request from the believing thief. Okay? Remember the unbelieving thief? He dared Jesus. He dared Jesus to rescue them from the cross. You see, this dawned on me. This was one last little temptation from the devil for Jesus. One last little temptation he had to get in there. You see, the believing thief was saying this. Please stay on the cross. Stay on the cross. Do what you were planning to do. But just please remember me. Guys, Jesus faced that kind of choice all throughout his ministry. You see, on one hand, the devil whispered, run, go, get down off that cross, avoid the cross, don't even go. And on the other hand, the Father was telling him, stay the course, son, stay the course. The cross is my will for you. Because God loved us. He loved you so much that he gave his only son, and Jesus loved you. Now, on the cross, Jesus came to the final point of decision. And then he said, assuredly. Assuredly. And this literally means, yes, truth. This is true. You can count on this. Yes. He said, assuredly. I tell you the truth. This day you will be in paradise with me. You see, guys, as heaven and hell waited, Jesus chose. Jesus says, yes, I'll pay the price. I'll go the limit. I'll see it all the way to the end. And when Jesus said, assuredly, hell cringed and heaven celebrated. Hallelujah. I in my crazy imagination, I can picture that time right there when Jesus said yes. Angels jumped up in heaven. They jumped up, wham, high-fived each other. If they could do that, I think they did. They high-fived each other and they said, oh, it's on now. Game over, boys. That was what was happening. Jesus was saying yes. He was saying yes to the salvation of whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus called salvation being with Him in paradise. Today, when believers die, they go immediately into the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't put off the choice if you're here today. Deathbed repentance is possible, but it's not probable. Do what the thief on the cross did. When he had the opportunity, he took it. If you're not saved, take your opportunity today, my friends. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. That God loved you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord. If there's one here that's in our church building or listening on the website or in the internet, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if they've never given their life to Christ, that today will be the day that they make it right with you. Father, I pray that when we start singing this song of invitation, that you'll compel them, the Holy Spirit, that you'll compel them to come down, and I'd be glad to pray with them, and we can settle that this morning, and they can be saved. Or if there's one here that'd like to be baptized sometime, in the near future, or join our church, our fellowship here. This will be a good time. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.